Our Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Exodus in chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all the first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are male shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your sons ask you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when the Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts of God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The congregation will read the parts of Simeon printed in bold. "And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord,' and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, 'A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Today's reading in Luke chapter 2 continues the great Christmas message, the same way we get to continue this great Christmas season. So, in fact, Merry Christmas! Thank you. Happy 5th day of Christmas. I didn't get you any rings. Sorry. As we get to continue in this great joyous celebration of Christmas Day, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, it truly is a wonderful thing that we should celebrate every day. It'd be funny to have, you know, a Christmas tree up forever. I'm also not used to having these live trees. I understand it would get kind of ugly after a little while, as much as Mrs. Bell and her class have been watering it for us to keep it looking nice. But the Christmas joy and celebration remains. Jesus Christ was born for me and for you. He was born that he might be our Savior. In our reading, we have these two wonderful individuals from history. These two who had been waiting their whole lives, and in fact had dedicated their lives in service here in the temple. And we have Simeon and Anna, who are both told, well, Simeon is told, and Anna is happy to see it too, that he would see the consolation of Israel. He would see the Savior before he would die. Now, this Savior had been promised 700 years before in prophecy. In fact, people had been waiting for the Messiah, the Christ, for years before that also. The Christ had been waited for generations. People had thought, well, is God going to send the Savior now? Maybe, possibly. They'd gone their whole lives trusting and hoping in the Lord that God would save them. And they had not yet seen Jesus or seen exactly what he would do. Simeon was in a special position to be in the temple, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to know that before his death, he would see the Christ. That'd be hard news to keep to yourself, I imagine. To be able to tell people, guys, he's almost here. Unless I live for several hundred years, it's going to be pretty soon. The Christ is coming. And then, when these two poor individuals, Joseph and Mary, come in with the poor version of the offering that the law had required for the dedication of their firstborn son, that he might be redeemed through sacrifice, the one who did not need redemption, but did come to fulfill the law for us. When they come in with this baby, Simeon sees him. He takes him up in his arms, blesses God, and in verse 29 says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." That would be amazing, to hold in his arms not just the promise that he had been told through the Holy Spirit, but to hold the promised Savior that had been told to God's people, to all of creation. The Christ was there, and he knew it. The Holy Spirit led him to see and to know that this Jesus, this baby, was the Lord of all. The shepherds had an amazing surprise when angels appeared and said, "Hey, there is a Savior born to you this day. Go and see him." And they got to go and see him. That was great. We had wise men who were following the star, and they got there eventually, and they found the Savior, this King. Simeon had been filled with the Spirit to know that he would see the Savior before his death. And then, again, filled with the Spirit to see him there, to know that that baby was also somehow the Lord and Redeemer of the whole world. What an amazing feeling. That long-expected wait, that joy of seeing God's faithfulness come through, God's promise that is indeed greater than any of our own promises to ourselves this coming new year. What a wonderful thing. I imagine that joy did not fade as quickly as maybe new presents do a week or so later when some of them have broken, or when things get put away into storage from Christmas season and we move on with our lives and we look forward to Valentine's Day or whatever else might come next, New Year's, of course. It's easy for this Christmas joy to fade throughout the year. But imagine that same joy of holding the Savior as a baby. I can't imagine that that left Simeon before he did die. I can't imagine that would leave any of us to see Jesus. Even oddly, to hold our Savior as a baby, that would be, it's funny for us to think of. But I love the hymn that we just sang. In the fourth stanza of Once in Royal David City, we sang, "And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. And he leads his children on to the place where he is gone." We won't hold Jesus as an infant. That time is past. But we will behold him. We will see him with our own eyes. We will see the one we celebrate, the Christ child, who is indeed our risen Lord Jesus Christ in heaven with him, because he will bring us there. He came down from heaven to be born and to live a perfect life in our place, that he might take us up into heaven with him. Us going there because of that perfect life given. At the beginning of our worship service, we always have our confession and we have a time of silent reflection. It's always great to be able to consider all of those things from the week, of course, that we might ask for specific forgiveness for. But especially in this season, as it will be in Lent and Easter, spending a moment to think of how thankful we are that Jesus, God, came down from heaven for us. In this Christmas season, when we do come to God in confession of our sins, we do so knowing that because of our sin, Jesus did have to come down for us. For us, it was very necessary that Christmas would happen. It was very necessary that Christ would come to live a perfect life in our stead, to die receiving the full wrath of God in our place, so that he would also be able to give us the same resurrection that he received on Easter Day. This Christmas season, we come in gratitude, thanking God for what he's done for us. And of course, hearing and knowing that we are forgiven already. Do not let your trouble or sorrow from your sin weigh you down. This Christmas joy is for you. Your sins are forgiven. The Savior did come. You daily get to experience Christ's love. Every Sunday, you don't come and hold a baby in your hand, but here when we have communion, or we receive bread and wine, you receive Christ, his body and his blood. In the same way, Simeon got to have Christ with him, holding him, touching him. You get to have the same. You get to have Jesus every time you come in commune and you receive his body and blood. That same excited joy that he had should be yours as well. When you come up to receive communion, do so, of course, in reflection of what we need in Jesus Christ, but also receive it in joy. Know that Christ has come to give you what you need for your eternal salvation. You have been redeemed. The one who came to the temple to follow the redemption laws, though he had no sin, has fully redeemed you in sacrificing himself for you. That's why we have a Merry Christmas. That's why we can celebrate all year long. Christmas in July, well, you should do it. It'll be great. To know this same joy that Christ is born for us, that Christ was born for you. Merry Christmas. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. And now go, telling that Jesus Christ is born with God's blessing. May our God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.